You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Canadian Wheat Board is the iconic farmer-controlled institution founded in 1935. It's the single-desk marketing agent for farmers of wheat, durum, and barley, grown from British Columbia's Peace Country clear through to the Ontario border. The Canadian Wheat Board Act gives it a legal mandate to extract the highest return for farmers by leveraging the powers of the single desk. Total exports amount to $4 to $7 billion per year. On Monday, Parliament voted to eliminate the Canadian Wheat Board by a vote of 153 to 120. The issue was introduced as Bill C-18 and, if passed in the Senate, will take effect in August of next year. To discuss this issue, I'm joined by Terry Boehm. He's president of the National Farmers Union. Hello, Terry.
Yes, hello.
Now, in addition to its primary job to enable the best returns for prairie farmers, what other roles does the Canadian Wheat Board fulfill?
Well, it fulfills a number of important roles. One of the key ones is coordination of transportation. We produced far more volume of grain than we have terminal storage capacity or rail capacity funneling into Vancouver or Prince Rupert or, for that matter, to the east at Thunder Bay. So the board negotiates transportation arrangements, tenders for handling services from the grain companies, and substantially reduces the cost to farmers in that regard. One of the biggest expenses for prairie grain is transportation, and it benefits all grains, not just the grains under its mandate, but the canolas, the peas, and the mustards that are shipped into export position because of its coordination role. The other piece is that at the terminal, and this was a extremely contentious point, and farmers pre-1935 fought over this one a lot. When you blend grain, you can generally improve the overall grade of it, and the board captures those blending premiums at port, at the terminals, and when the board's no longer in the picture, those blending premiums, that general upgrade from taking diverse samples from throughout the prairie region, will go to the big grain companies, and that'll be a substantial hit for farmers. The board is also is able to command premium prices because it's a reliable supplier, and it enters into long-term contractual arrangements with buyers, big and small, and of course, that premium market will essentially, the grain companies will be trading on a margin, buying high and or buying low and selling high, and they won't be so interested in maintaining the long-term relationships on the premium market. It's just momentary sales, what they can gain at that point.
Now, does the board also play an advocacy role for farmers, for prairie farmers?
Yes, very good point. The board plays an advocacy role with essentially near monopoly railways. We have two national railways that we're dependent on, so it's critically important in that transportation relationship that I spoke with a little bit about before. But also, the U.S. has launched 13 trade challenges in the last number of years against the board, against Canadian wheat and barley exports, claiming we were unfair traders. And in every instance, the board in those challenges was able to prove that they are indeed a fair trader. And actually, as a process of those actions, all of the board's transactions were audited, where it was unequivocally proved that the board, in general, receives premium prices, so they aren't undercutting any markets. They're actually doing the opposite. And so every one of those challenges was lost by the U.S.
What will the ramifications be for the sector as a whole, the agricultural sector as a whole, if this bill becomes law?
Well, we'll see a fundamental loss to farmers, in particular, and to the Canadian economy as a whole, as the wealth that they generate from the grain that they produce, and this is a major foreign exchange earner, grain exports for the country. Farmers will see lower returns. The monies that should be in farmers and rural communities' pockets and working its way through the system will end up in large transnational grain companies, the blending premiums, the premiums that from sales, farmers will not see that. And as a consequence, there won't be an advocate in terms of dealing with the railways that can play on a more or less level basis. It'll be individual farmers will have very little power in that relationship. The Port of Churchill will probably wither away. And in general, we'll probably see on an annual basis of in the neighborhood of a minimum of $500 million to more likely $1 billion of lost revenues just going to ordinary farmers.
So in terms of how a prairie grain farmer will experience it on the ground in their community, it'll be just less money.
Yeah, it'll be less money, but also one of the more important things in recent years, as handling charges have gone up, grain elevators on the prairies will fill rail cars, but they charge to fill those rail cars, and then they're shipped out to port. And the companies have destroyed a lot of those elevators, so farmers have to haul grain on trucks further to them. And so they've been buying up short line branch lines, starting up short line railways, and they've been loading rail cars themselves. It's called a producer car, and this saves them in the neighborhood of a minimum of $1,000 per rail car shipping out. Plus, it gives them access to rail transportation services at a nearer locale than trucking at the large distances to the remaining terminal elevators on the prairies. And without the wheat board, there won't be anyone to receive those cars for the farmer to ship his grain to at port, because the grain companies aren't interested in having grain grow directly on a rail car. They'd sooner run it through their elevators, charge their handling fees per ton, and move it out that way. So all that farmer investment in loading facilities, short line railways, etc., is jeopardized.
Bill C-18 was introduced and pursued very aggressively. What methods did the government use to ensure its passage so quickly?
This is very worrisome. The extraordinary parliamentary procedures where this bill was introduced. The government invoked time allocation or closure, so they minimized debate. There was very little debate on the bill. But they didn't normally, a bill such as this, agriculture-related, would go to the Standing Committee, this common Standing Committee on Agriculture, for review and amendment, and they would call forward witnesses to speak to the bill. They did not do that. They created a special legislative committee that examined it for a week, did not allow any amendments, only spent 5 minutes per clause of the bill, and only heard witnesses on a purely technical basis as to the amendments. They've minimized the debate on such a fundamentally important institution to just less than a full day. I believe it was 2 6-hour sessions. It may have been a little bit more, but very, very little. So they also, of course, refused to comply with the existing legislation of giving a farmer a vote to decide what happens to their marketing agency. And they bulldozed this through Parliament at record speed. It's really shocking. I don't think people could contemplate what was happening in the speed that they put this through. It was introduced in October, and by the October 18th, and they had the vote last Monday, third reading. And they're doing this on all sorts of other bills, the crime legislation, an assortment of bills. So they're really marginalizing the parliamentary process, not allowing amendment or debate, and shoving it through as fast as possible. You know, game-changing legislation in all regards. They're intent on doing it as quickly as they can.
Is there any legal recourse? You said that they were supposed to give a vote for farmers, and they didn't. Is there anything that farmers can do?
Well, yeah, it's long held that Parliament is supreme, although Parliament is being marginalized. However, there are some precedents. The Clarity Act that was introduced to define the exact sort of electoral process and numbers, et cetera, and process for the succession of a province, say Quebec, the Supreme Court of Canada concluded that legislation actually does tie future parliaments to a process. And so a group of us called the Friends of the Canadian Wheat Board have launched a legal action. It will be heard December 6th, unless it's delayed, trying to connect the legislative mandate of requiring a producer vote in the existing act to the Clarity Act, and that Parliament the government should respect that. So we know it's a bit of a legal long shot, but our options have been less and less throughout this process, so we're hopeful that the courts may rule favorably so that we can, farmers support the board, always have, the vast majority want it in place, they understand the advantages it brings, and this is just a little group of ideological zealots, including the Prime Minister, who want to destroy this. And it's irrational for the country as a whole. If he wants to manage the economy of the country, why would he be destroying something that brings real economic benefits?
I guess one thing I'm curious about this, you said he was ideologically opposed to it, and yet the Conservatives have a lot of support in the Prairie provinces. Why do you think that they're prepared to eliminate something that is really something that people who vote for them very much support?
Well, unfortunately, in sharp contrast to 1935, when 50% of this country was rural, and a lot of that 50% were actual farmers. Now we comprise less than 2% of the population, and that includes even the prairie rural ridings. We're only talking about approximately 80,000 farmers in the prairies, and actually probably somewhat less in the new census. And in each individual constituency, the farm vote really, except where it's very close, isn't really determining that conservative mandate. And I'm puzzled why they have such a strong support in the West, but nevertheless that seems to be the case. But it certainly isn't, they certainly don't have the mandate from the farm population that they claim to have just by nature of holding most of the rural seats, or most of the Western Canadian seats.
Well, Terry, thank you very much for talking to me this morning, and good luck with the legal challenge that you're mounting.
Yeah, and next week I'll be appearing before the Senate, and hopefully that House of Sober Second Thought might respond favorably.
Well, good luck with that, too. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Terry Boehm. He's the president of the National Farmers Union, and we reached him in Allen, Saskatchewan. For further information on the Canadian Wheat Board and its fate, you can visit stopthesteamroller.ca.